Well, let me just go over these message scriptures again with you. In Colossians 2:9, the Bible tells us, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." You want more of God? Get more of Jesus. It means that Jesus possesses all the power, knowledge, goodness, and presence of the Father himself. In John 1:30, we're given the secret to more of Jesus. John said this, "He must increase and I must decrease." Come on, shout that out. He must increase, I must decrease. That is the very definition of spiritual growth. Colossians 3:3, the Bible tells us emphatically, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." The only way to find your life now is in Jesus. And it's awesome to understand that everything you need is in that relationship with Him. Everything that you would need to know, everything that you need in this life is found in more of Him. More of His love, say His love. More of His presence, say presence. More of His wisdom, say wisdom. More of His power, say power. More of His truth, say truth. More of His character, say character. And more of His goodness. Amen. And He has goodness stored up for you. But it's in Him. Hallelujah. We talked about these amazing benefits that God has for us, and you can listen to the previous messages, but I just want to make sure that you know what they are. In Him we have life. In Him we're sons of God. Amen. In Him we're new creations. In Him we are His workmanship. Look at somebody and smile and say, "You're His masterpiece." Hey, listen, don't ever put yourself down again. Because when you disparage yourself, that's a reflection on the one that made you. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. Smile at somebody and say, "You're awesome sauce." Amen. In Him there's no condemnation. Hallelujah. In Him we have redemption. In Him we possess every spiritual blessing. In Him we're more than conquerors. In Him we're established. We're adopted. We're brought near to God. In Him we always triumph, glory to God. In Him we're highly favored. In Him we are heirs. Hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ. He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you're a joint heir. Don't ever doubt that God intends good in your life. Wonderful life here and unbelievable life on the other side. You can't comprehend what God has for you. Glory to God. The only way you understand or receive understanding is that He reveals these things to you by His Spirit. But you know, there's some things that will hinder you from receiving more of Jesus. And I want to just make this plain that this amounts to decisions on our part. We don't need to be blocking things. I mean, blocking Jesus by holding on to things in our life. Can I have an amen? It's true that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But the thing that can cause you to block more of Jesus in your life is you. It's important to understand this principle, that while you have a great Savior and He has given you life and life more abundantly, it's up to you not to reject Him. You never lose your will. You are forever a free moral agent. You can walk with Him or not walk with Him. You can have more of Jesus or you can block Him in terms of having more of His substance, His life, His revelation in your life. It's up to you. So let's just start at the top today, because we live in a world that's completely filled with white noise. The first thing that will hinder you from more of Jesus is your device. So to help you out today, I'm asking you all just to come up here and lay them all on the altar, amen. And I've got a sledgehammer. You have to admit that availability to technology is not getting you more Jesus. You say, "Well, I get my Bible there and I read a devotion on my handheld," whatever the case may be. Yeah, but what else do you do with it? And on the scheme of things, you know, what kind of balance is there? Be aware that the devil will try to get you to focus on every kind of device, every kind of distraction, at the exclusion of things which we'll talk about that will get you more of Jesus. I promise you this, there ain't nothing on that stupid iPad, nothing on that stupid computer, and nothing on that stupid device that you call a phone that is greater than having more of Jesus in your life. It can be a tool or it can be something to trip you up. And it's tripped up a lot of people in our culture. Look at somebody and say, don't worship your device. Number two, and this should come as no surprise to anybody that's been to this church longer than 2 days. Offense will stop you from receiving more of Jesus. In fact, the day that you decided to walk around in offense, that's the day you stopped growing in Him. It may have been 1942, 1985, may have been last week or last month, but when you decided you're going to hold on to offense, you made a decision you were going to block more of Jesus in your life. That offense is filling up all the room that He should be occupying. It's a faith killer. It's a growth killer. Make sure you process this day to day. Bible spoke of Jesus, you know, trying to do ministry, and the people there were offended at Him. And He could not do many miracles there because of their offense, because of their unbelief. Understand this, that offense shuts Him down in your life. You can have offense, or you can have more of Jesus, but you can't have both. Number three, familiarity hinders you from Jesus. This is where you have a lack of honor for the things of God, for the ministry of God, the messengers of God, the Word of God, what He's trying to communicate in these last days, the revelation of God. We cannot allow ourselves to become unteachable. And one of the reasons we become unteachable is we become too familiar with things. Always have an awe about you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Always have an expectation about you that at any given moment, God could break through with a revelation that can change your life. You don't know it all. You're never going to know it all on this side. Have expectancy that God's going to talk to you. Yes. I was talking to our brother the other day, and, Larry Bozeman worked with Andrew Womack for years and years and years. And I was telling him this, that when I go to a minister's conference and I see, you know, Andrew there and Keith Moore there and Brother Copeland there, I notice something about these people that after all these years, say all these years, they still have a notebook out. They still have their Bible out. They still have a pen in their hand like they don't know anything. There are people that ain't the body of Christ. Well, I've been there for 3 years. You know, I pray, I seek God, I read the Bible. I have no need of nothing. What you don't realize is you slipped into familiarity. Hey, listen to what I'm saying today. The Word of God is going forth today. There should be an awe in your expectancy. What can He do today in your life? That unteachable spirit is the badge of adolescence spiritually. When you're 5 years old, daddy's a genius. When you're 10 years old, he's your hero. When you're 15 years old, he doesn't know a thing. And it is the most dangerous place you can be at spiritually. Because it is the place where people get the most hard-headed and hard-hearted. You want to find out where you'll spin out of control into a place of no growth and spiritual defeat? That's where it happens for most people. Turn to somebody and say, stay teachable, stay pliable, stay open. Don't get familiar with the things of God. He did this with Jesus. Ah, he's the carpenter's son. Not that he's his brother is here. Isn't his mother Mary? And on it goes. Once you decide you can't receive from somebody, hey, shock and awe, you can't receive from them. It's not because you can't, it's because you decided not to. Your confession became powerful in your life. Glory to God. I constantly receive, and I receive from people of all ages and all different backgrounds. Amen. I get taught all kinds of things, even by my grandkids. Amen. Found out Andrew is always smiling and happy, unless he's hungry. I think the word is hangry, right? Give that boy a Snickers, give him something. But oh, to be hungry like that. Say it, hungry.
Hungry.
Or smiling.
Or smiling.
Hungry.
Hungry.
Or smiling.
Or smiling.
Hungry people get to smiling. Amen. Number four, tradition hinders you from Jesus. In fact, Jesus told the Pharisees that you make the word of God of none effect. You rob it of its power. You strip it of its efficacy in your life because you are just in a position where your tradition is more important to you than the word. I mean, I marvel when I think about the power of God showing up and these four men are luring this man into the house with great faith, get this paralytic healed. And Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. And they immediately freak out because their tradition, their religion, their teaching flies in the face of that kind of on-the-spot ministry. And Jesus said, well, so that you know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, what did he say? Rise up and walk. And that made him even more mad. Now listen to me carefully. When your tradition, listen, when you get mad at people excelling and getting healed and delivered and prospered, when that bothers you, you got a problem. That's what Pharisees do. They don't want the message going forth. They don't want the power going forth. They don't want to see people raised up. They're protecting the little fiefdom. If you go with Jesus, then that means there's less people to follow us. It wasn't about you in the first place. Are you here today? But oh, when you honor him and you respect him and you bless him, amen, and you're expecting great things, and you're going to stick to the word of God, you're going to see great power released through that word. Number five, disobedience hinders you from more of Jesus. At the end of the day, you have to honor what God says in his word. At the end of the day, you have to do what he tells you to do. Look at somebody and smile and say, you have to do what Jesus tells you to do. Because if you balk at his lordship, you cannot have more of who he is. You have to yield to what he says. And I promise you this, his plan for your life is better than your plan. And I know for a fact his lordship's better than you at lordship. Because you were a wreck before you got saved. What is it about Christians who understand that before they got born again, they were terrible lords over their life? They get saved and suddenly they think they're good now. Say this with me. I'm still a terrible Lord. You need to do a Donald Trump and fire yourself. Number six, unbelief hinders you from Jesus. You don't believe the word, don't believe what he says, don't believe the promises of what you can have, what you can be, what you can do. There's just no overcoming that. And sometimes you feel like you can't believe. Well, you can do the same thing that man did. Lo, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. At least that's honest. Amen. Glory to God. The number seven, a lack of personal devotional life. If you're prayerless in your life, if you're not seeking him actively, there is no way for you to have more of Jesus. Well, I came to church to get more of Jesus. No, you came to church to find out how to get more of Jesus. The heavy lifting is not done here.
That's true.
It's good. Are you here today? This is where we are renewing our mind and receiving discipleship and training and shoving in the right direction. But if you're not going to talk to him, you're not going to seek him, then you're not going to have more of him. You're going to find yourself at a standstill, and it's never been more important for you to have a personal time with him than it is right now. And I'm preaching better than y'all are staring at me right now. Come on, shout it out. It's never been more important than now to have a personal time with him. Now, there's a wide scope of how people do this, and there's nothing religious about it, nothing traditional about it. It's just a matter of talking to him and listening, reading his word and receiving from him. And when you receive from him, don't be surprised when you get a correction. I've always believed this since I was a baby Christian. Number one reason we don't want to pray is because we don't want to get corrected. Number one reason we want to read the word because we don't want to get corrected. I assure you, if you seek his face and read the word, correction's coming. Why, Pastor? Why, Pastor? Why? Because you're a human being. Because you're a work in progress. At least you're progressing. It's very important to have that. Whatever that looks like for you, develop it, cultivate it, and protect it. Come on, say it. Develop it.
Develop.
Cultivate it.
Cultivate.
Protect it.
Protect it.
It really is your most important meeting all week. No, I got to talk to this person, got to meet with that person, got to do this. That's all fine and dandy, but here's the key. None of them are Jesus.
Right.
Not putting anybody down, but guess what? When somebody's putting pressure on you, it might be interesting to give them that reply. Yes, you're important, but you're not Jesus. I'd pretty much end that argument right there. Come on, everybody say, you're important, but you're not Jesus. Jesus is most important. And you know, I know as a child of God, you go through ebbs and flows. Sometimes you have this really great intensity to that particular part of your relationship, and sometimes you struggle. He's well aware of that. I don't care if you haven't been in your prayer closet, you haven't been in the Word. This is a good day to make a quality decision to start it all over again in Jesus' name. That's the wonderful thing about God. He'll take you right where you are.
Amen.
He's not interested in putting you down. He is interested in you having more of Jesus, though.
Amen.
Amen. So let's talk about these very simple keys for getting more of Him in your life. Are you ready? Not complicated, but very, very important, because these are things that will actually cause an influx of everything He is into your life. If you want more Jesus, you need to seek His face. Said,
I will
seek His face. You say, why is that? It's because the scriptures like John 15, 5 through 8, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
What? Nothing. Shout that out. Apart from Him,
I can do
nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers, and such branches are picked up, thrown to the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you will and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Shout it out. Disciples have fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now, just like in the human being, there are certain things that are more vital than others. I've used this illustration before, but you know, if an EMT, a paramedic, shows up on a car crash scene, they're going to very quickly try to discern what's going on, who's got what problem, how dangerous is that person's health in that situation, and they're going to just measure what they need to do first. And the person with a broken leg but stable, that we want to get that fixed. But that's not the number one vital need. Somebody else, you know, may be in shock. They just, you know, put a blanket on them, get them warm, but that's not the number one vital thing. But over here in the passenger seat, somebody ran straight into the dashboard with no airbag, one of those old models, you know. How many of y'all were raised like me when mom was your airbag? And she was always late. Well, I tried. And this person is not breathing. At that point in time, it's not fix them a meal, set a bone. I've got to get that person breathing again. And it's the same thing with your walk with Him, seeking His face. He has got to be your number one vital need. Like oxygen, you can't live without it. You can't live without His presence.
Amen.
And you've got to see it that way. Say it, vital union.
Vital.
Living contact. You sever it, the life stops flowing. Jesus' own words and teaching tell us if we are cut off from Him, we are cut off from life. How long can you live without oxygen? Well, it depends on how developed your lung capacity is. Amen. As a swimmer, I could do, basically 2 25-yard laps underwater without stopping. Ask me if I can still do that. Speaking of bringing the paramedics in, hallelujah. But I don't care who you are, eventually, no matter how long you've been able to hold your breath, eventually you're going to need to breathe. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, there are a lot of people in this room and you've been holding your breath spiritually. You are not going to survive like that. Yeah. Turn to somebody with a twinkle in your eye and smile and say, just breathe. And how do you do that? By staying in a position of seeking Him. Seeking Him. The Scripture tells us, seek Him early and you'll find Him. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, His ways of doing and being right. Seek ye Him. Amen. Look at somebody and say, seek Him. The good news is He'll always be there to connect with you. Glory to God. It's time to stop holding your breath. Breathe. Say it with me. Just breathe. It's what's called living vital contact or union. You can't do it. I realize a lot of people over the years are they're tempted to, and sometimes just because of confusion or hard times, they start hooking up to other things, expecting that to give them that vital union and living contact. And it doesn't work. Church is important, but the institution is not Jesus. Understand this. Are you here today? Your job is important, but it is not Jesus. A lot of ministers get into trouble this way because they are studying to preach or studying to share, but they need to be seeking Him for Him's sake. People do this in the secular realm. They do this in their work life. Whatever you're hooked up to, look, you make sure that Jesus is number one in your life. Come on, shout it out. Number one, not number 25. Your highest priority and number one need must be remaining in vital living contact and union with Jesus. Always, if you do, you'll get more of Him. Listen, you always become like the one you spend the most time with. Have you ever noticed the longer married couples are together, they start looking like each other? I'm not sure because they just start trying to dress like each other or what the case may be. No, Steve, I'm not saying that your lovely wife had a beard. No, I'm not saying that at all. But you do take on characteristics. Values. Ways of speaking. Yeah. Anybody ever finish your spouse's sentences quite frequently and you know exactly what's going to come out of their mouth? No, Pastor, I've been married 45 years and that never happens. You need to come see me. You got real problems. Hallelujah. Bible tells us walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walking in the Spirit, we manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Are you here today? Number two, if you want to become more like Jesus, you want more of Jesus in your life, serve others. Serve. Say it, I am a servant. Say it, I am a servant of Christ. Matthew 25, 40, again, the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. When you push a broom, you're serving Him. When you're singing a song, you're serving Him. When you're changing a diaper, you're singing Him. You're serving Him. Amen. We had Andrew and Julian last week while Tim and Sarah were with the youth in Tennessee. And I don't mind feeding Andrew. I just don't like the part that comes later. Kind of feel like I did my job with Tim. So Kelly decided she'd go into another room with Juliana and play with puzzles and color and leave me out there with has to be the most rancid stink bomb of a diaper I've ever seen in my entire life. He's sitting next to me, you know, watching some educational thing on the TV. And I'm practically praying in tongues trying to keep this thing down. You know, it's just like, how can something so absolutely gorgeous and beautiful stink so bad. But attempting to be a servant. I went ahead, bit the bullet, changed his diaper. And put his pajamas on him and looked at him with great love and said, "Don't do it again." When you open that nursery, guess what you're doing? You're serving. You're serving him. The smallest thing, you are serving him. What am I trying to tell you? I'm trying to explain to you, when you serve him, there is an anointing on that. And you enjoy an influx of his presence and his goodness in your life. When you serve him, you're encountering him. You have to change your mindset about what service actually is. Jesus came not to be served, but to what? But to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. What happens with, and you know, people that are carnal don't think this way, but the simplest thing you do in his name comes with the ability to have more of him in your life. And instead of thinking about what I got to do for him, I got to do for the church, there's always something going on. Change your mindset. In me serving him, I'm receiving more of him in my life. Amen. Whether it's participate in Fall Festival, which I hope you do, or it's, you know, helping with the kids, you know, camp and Camp Courageous and the things that you do. It's every week ministry. Whatever it is, you should walk around saying, "Thank God for this opportunity, and I thank God more of Jesus is coming into my life." Amen. More. Say more of him. Say more of him. Say it again. Say more of him. You know, the 1924 Olympics, you know, Eric Little was running. Of course, he famously refused to run on what he considered his Sabbath on Sunday. He was still a champion. He was born to missionary parents, and eventually after Olympics went, you know, over to the mission field. He was in China. The Japanese overran that and put him into an internment camp where he died of a brain tumor. But when he was running, he would express it this way. He said, "When I run, I feel the pleasure of God." Say, "When I run, I feel the pleasure of God." The novice Christian, the carnal Christian, serves and doesn't make the connection. But if you will stop and just let God minister to you, you will realize that as you serve, you can feel the pleasure of God on your life. And there's nothing like it. There's no drug like it. There's no experience like it. What are you, Pastor? "Well, I'm a God-called teacher, so when I teach, I feel the pleasure of God." I don't mind telling you, right now, I feel the pleasure of God, which is a good thing, because when I teach, I usually get displeasure from some people. But it's the pleasure of God that matters. Pleasing him by faith and executing your life, do something. Say it. Do something. Why? Because we should want to excel his ministry in the earth. But if you want more of him, you've got to put yourself in a position where you feel his pleasure. And you're never the same. I did a men's meeting in Washington, D.C. and helped dedicate my nephew, Austin, who's now a full-grown man. But back then, I did the meeting for the men, and I was preaching on something very, very similar about everybody has a call, everybody has a mission, everybody should be doing something for the King. And I said, "It doesn't make a difference how young or old you are. You can do something. Everybody can serve. Everybody can pray. Everybody can encourage." Amen. And I had this 90-year-old man walk up to me and goes, "I sure am glad you're talking to those young whippersnappers. They need to get up there and do something." And I look at him like, "Did you hear a word I said?" So I can be perfectly clear, there's no retirement from serving Jesus. Amen. There is no retirement. There's no, "It's time for those young whippersnackers to do it." No. There's no changing of the guard. In fact, we have people of age stepping down when we need their wisdom the most. Listen to me, church. The modern body of Christ is biblically and spiritually illiterate. We need the senior saints. That was a good place for you, senior saints, to say amen.
Amen.
Oh, I see. You didn't want to be identified as a senior saint. So you don't say nothing. Say, when I serve Him, I feel the pleasure of God. Hallelujah. Cheryl, where are you at? Would you stand up? The word of the Lord came to me concerning you. In fact, you can just come on down here. It's okay. It's an illustration and perfect point here. And you just receive this, okay? The Lord would say to you that He is pleased with your endeavors, with your faithfulness, serving in pain, serving in confusion, serving from the mountaintop, serving from the valley, year after year, month after month, doing everything He's assigned you to do. The Lord is pleased with that attitude and pleased with that example. And He's saying to you today, yes, there have been seasons of torment and difficulty and challenge and sadness and heartbreak, but the Lord says you're about to be rewarded with the good. So rejoice, rejoice and be glad. For there is due, there is a season of due, there is a season of reward for the faithful servant, says the Lord your God. So thank God for you, Michelle. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, my Father. And I tell you, there's so many others that can really resonate with that. The ability just to press in and press on. You did not learn in this church, if you have faith, you'll never go through anything. You did not learn that here. In fact, if you were listening, you learned this. Have faith, get pounded. It does not somehow make you put you in a bubble, but it does give you the tools to overcome and be victorious no matter what the devil throws at you. That you did learn here. And there's a big difference between that concept and get faith and everything's perfect. Glory to God. Say it. I get more Jesus when I seek His face, when I serve others. Number three, when I share His message. Now, early in this mini-series on more Jesus, we talked about making sure you're preaching the right Jesus, the biblical Jesus, and make sure you know what His message is. Because everybody's coming out what they think Jesus' message is. Tolerance and equity and diversity. No, the Bible is pretty plain and it's pretty monolithic in terms of its commands. This is what I expect. Are you here today? He said in Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after John was arrested and put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the appointed period of time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, have a change of mind which issues in regret for past sins and in change of conduct for the better, the Amplified says, and believe, trust in, rely on, and adhere to the good news, the gospel. Repent and believe was that message. His first message was, and His message is still today, say it, repent and believe. Come on, shout it out. Repent and believe. It is not, God is tolerant towards everyone. And it's very important you understand this. In Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you. Always, to the very end of the age. When you are just faithful just to tell the untold and reach the unreached, you tell them the message, it's still what? Repent and believe. Come on, say it. Repent and believe. When you do that, you have the promise of more of His presence. There's not a person in this room this week cannot jack up the presence of God in their life by just telling people about the Lord. There is an anointing there. In Mark 16, 19 and 20, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. And then the disciples went out and preached everywhere and the Lord worked with them. The Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. He was where? With them. If you want more of Jesus, you've got to be sharing his message. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he has a plan for your life. But it all starts with repent and believe. How's that for a conversation starter? But that's the message. Because without it, we don't have access to him. We don't access everything he is. We must repent and believe. And he goes and he works with us and signs are following. He's evidencing that he's doing something as the word goes forth. How many of y'all want more of Jesus? Then seek his face. How many want more of Jesus? Then serve him. How many want more of Jesus? Then share his message. When you do, there's an infusion of his presence. I've watched this more times than not, just in simple one-on-one conversations or out doing outreach, whatever the case may be. When you do this, if you have any discernment at all, you can sense the presence of God. God will put things in your mouth you didn't expect to say. God will give you wisdom that cannot be refuted. And you know where it came from. It came from him. Amen. You knew that sooner or later I was going to get around to this one. If you want more Jesus, you need to search the scriptures. You need to be students of the Word of God. John 1, verse 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Jesus and the Word are one. To spend time in his Word is to spend time with him. To hear what the Word says is to hear from him. Say it, the Word and the Lord are one. Hebrews 12 tells us, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of your faith. You see, what you look at and what you listen to will hook you. Not only should you turn your eyes and ears away from things that are not of God, that are in fact evil, you should be turning them to things that will reproduce the goodness of God in your life. You look at the Word of God, it'll hook you. You listen to the Word of God, it'll hook you. You'll get excited about the things of God. You'll be turned on about the things of God. You want more of Jesus? Get into his word like you never have before. Again, it's not what happens in this building on Sunday morning that determines that. It's what you do every single day of the week. It's reading and memorizing and meditating and confessing the Word of God and doing it all over again and not being pushed off of it. Not being influenced away by the modern day Pharisees who won't enter into the kingdom of God and want to stop you from doing the same thing. As I said, it's too late for y'all. Y'all have already crossed the line in Jesus' name. You're not going back. I mean, once you tasted of the Holy Ghost, you're not going to go back. Once you have tasted the fruit and the results of walking by faith, you're not going back. Once you found out he's a delivering and healing and prospering Jesus, you're not going back. Amen. And I'm just stunned by all the use today of technology and time and money trying to talk other people out of what they believe. I just scratch my head. Because if all of a sudden they would just start talking about Jesus and the Word of God, we could wrap this thing and go home. Yeah. But everybody's hell-bent on correcting everybody. Amen. Well, you know, Brother Art, Paul corrected people as well. And well, let me just let you out here on a secret here. Paul wrote, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70,000, 100,000 words. He wrote a lot. Some of those penned himself. Many of those, he dictated those. It's still the inspired word of God through this amazing man of God. You'll find him calling some people out, like Alexander the metal worker, and when Peter made a mistake, you know, over his, you know, latent racist tendencies, he did. But first of all, these people are not Paul. That's the first problem. The second problem is, out of the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands, say it with me, thousands, thousands, thousands of words that Paul wrote and whatever else he preached, there's just a few dozen words of calling people out. So if you're going to be like Paul, you're going to stick to the word. The other thing is, Paul dealt with people in his circle. Timothy, correct people in your circle. As goofy as somebody might be in this town or this region, as a pastor, it's not my authority to correct somebody else's sheep. Now today, it's everybody correcting everybody's sheep, everybody's leader. It's Phariseeism. And you're missing the whole point. Get back to reading and preaching and teaching and memorizing and meditating and confessing the word of God. Can I have a good amen, church? Amen. That's what we need to be doing in these end times. And the world's just like, these Christians are crazy. This one's attacking that one. That one's replying. That one's attacking that one. That one over here is calling everybody out and thinking that that's of God. There's no pattern for that in Scripture. It's the word. Say it with me, it's the word.
It's the word.
Come on, say it bold. It's the word of God.
It's the word of God.
Raise your hand if you want more of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Seek his face. Serve. Share his message without compromise. And we'll do what? Search the scriptures like you never have before. And in preparing, the Lord just showed me something I want to give to you in the second hour of this message. Just seeing if you're listening. And I want you to turn with me over to Psalm 19. What a wonderful record God has given us here. When you're there, say, I am there. Psalm number 19. I want you to see this in light of how important the Word of God is. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. There's no speech, there's no words, their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming from his home, but it rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to their other end. Nothing is hidden from its heat. What is this saying to you? It's telling you that the moon, the stars, the planets, the sun, they are all communicating.
Yes.
And they are what? Glorifying God. And they all have a message. Wherever you are in the world, if you look up, and by looking up, you come to the realization that a massively powerful God did that. Then you listen to their voice as they glorify God and point you in the right direction.
Yes.
It's clear from Romans that even creation testifies of God's existence, his reality, his power, and his authority. That's the mercy of God. Wherever someone is in the world, if they'll look up and ask an honest question, where did that come from? The speech will begin to go forth and they'll have understanding. Night after night, year after year, they pour forth speech. The question is, what are they pointing to? You find out what they're pointing to by reading on with me. They're pointing to the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The answer to the question of who made all this, the Word. The message is found in the subsequent verses. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. Say it, they're right. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. I'm back up here because I got to hit myself. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, without fault, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Wisdom. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, and the supreme demonstration of the fear of the Lord is fidelity and obedience to His word. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord or commands are reliable and altogether righteous. They're more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from a honeycomb. In addition, your servant is warned by them, and in keeping there is abundant or great reward. They're pointing to what? To the Word of God. They're pointing to that which made them and describing the Word and the resulting reward of honoring the Word like you should. Say it, in keeping them, there is what? Great reward. Come on, shout it out. In keeping the Word of God, there is great reward. What are they saying? Night after night, go to the Word. The moon says, go to the Word. The Word made me. The sun says, go to the Word. The Word made me. Mars says, go to the Word. The Word made me. In keeping the Word, there is great reward. And somebody with an honest heart asks, who made all that? You're going to be pointed in the direction of the Word of God. You're going to be given the ability to understand and to have lights. And the third thing you see in this particular chapter is your response is so critical to this. Say, my response.
My response.
Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. What happens when the heavens declare the glory of God? What happens when it points to the Word of God? You and I come under conviction. Say conviction three times. Say it again.
Conviction.
Shout it out. Say conviction.
Conviction.
Praise God. They declare. They point me to the Word. The Word convicts. My response should be what? Repentance and gratitude for God seeking us and showing us the truth. Amen. Say it. I want more of Him. I find Him in the Scriptures. Say it with me. I find Him in the Scriptures. The fourth thing we learn from this passage of Scripture is what do we do having repented, having gotten right with God? Look at these wonderful words. May the words of my mouth. Say it with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be what? Be pleasing or acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord. Now it's what? It's not just the heavens glorifying God. I am. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Anybody here interested in having more of Jesus?
Yes.
How many are interested in letting the Word do its work?
Yes.
And causing you to be blameless? There is a revelation here for all of us. If every day you will keep your meditation pure and your mouth right. You said it all, Miss Anna, my Lord. Raise your hand if you want to have more of him and you want to be blameless. Yes. Is it possible this week that you could be blameless? Yes. How? How is your meditation? How is your mouth? Every head bowed. Amen. Thinking the thoughts of God. Say, I think the thoughts of God. And I speak the word of God. You know what happened? You'll begin to live at a level that demonstrates you have more of him in your life. Amen. They're talking. Those that'll listen, be pointed to the word. Those pointed to the word will come under conviction. Those that come under conviction will say, I'm going to live this life. And the way I'm going to live this life is my meditation is going to be right and my words are going to be right. I know people make fun of this stuff, you know, that blab it and grab it and name it and claim it ground. But it's the word that tells you to watch your heart and watch your mouth. Amen. Don't be moved by people making fun of you. You have stumbled on the truth. More of Jesus. Say, I want more and more. Come on, stand to your feet and say, more and more and more. And more of him. Come on, give me a hand clap and a shout. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Is there anything more important in the year of the more than having more of him? Thank you, Lord. And that's great for the heavenly bodies to speak and pour forth speech. And it's great for the rocks to cry out. But I mean, you and I are made in his image.
That's right.
He came to redeem us. So let's praise him right now. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Come on. Lift up your voice and bless him and praise him. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father God.
Glory to God. Blessed be your name, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. How many say today, with a lifted hand, you need to be seeking his face more. You got out of the flow, and the Holy Ghost is talking to you today. That's a good thing. How many say you need to serve more? Time to get off that log, being a bump on a log, and do something for God. Don't run your life by your emotions. Make up your mind you're going to serve. How many say you need to be more diligent in sharing the message on purpose with people? And you know he's speaking to you about that. Some of you, he even put specific people on your mind today. Follow that up with obedience. Do what he told you to do. And how many would say you need to be in the word more than you've ever been before? God's talking to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And just lift your hands and say, Lord, I want more of you. You're the answer to every problem. You're the key to every challenge. You are the solution in my life to everything going on. I thank you today. There's always more. And I receive it in Jesus' name. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to share your message. I'm going to search those scriptures like never before. And by faith, I believe I'm receiving more of you and everything you bring with you. Lord, here's my life. It's hidden in you. And I thank you today for fresh starts, new beginnings, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a hand clap and thank him.